Welcome to the City View Church podcast. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Even though as we continue to study in this book of Revelation, things are going to seem to get more and more out of control. And as we even live here on this earth, things seem to get more and more disturbing, a little more and more shook, a little more and more what in the world is happening and how are things actually going to work out in our modern day and times. I don't know about you guys, but I watch the news, I watch the things happening, whether it's our upcoming election, things happening in different countries, but it just seems like things are going in a direction that don't seem happy or better. Here's what we can know. We know this, that God is victorious. We know that God is still king, and we know that everything we are reading is about Jesus coming back and taking what is rightfully his. That's Revelation. So today we're going to dive into Revelation chapters 8, 9, and 10. So put your seatbelts on because we are going to, it's a lot of stuff today. It's going to be really good. I'm excited. I just think God has a lot for us today. I know he does. But hey, as we pray this morning, as I get ready to pray for the sermon and we enter into what's next, I know that there's a lot of people going through a lot of stuff right now in life, whether it's health stuff, personal stuff, life stuff, stuff, whatever it is, we're going through it right now. It just seems like we are getting hit right and right. This is my left hand, it's your right. That's why I did it. I wish that's true. Right and left. But I want to take a few moments just right at the beginning of beginning before I get into preaching. If you are going through it and you don't need to tell anybody, just stand up, turn the lights down, just stand up, and we're going to put our hands out and pray for those around us. If you're going through it right now, stand up. We want to pray for you. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just being open and honest, going, you know, I'm going through it. I would be standing right here right now. I'm going through it. We're walking through some of the hardest stuff we've ever walked through in our life right now. But God is faithful. He is king. He is Lord. He knows how to do it, and he's not worried about it. He's not stressing about it. He's like, I got your life. I've got you. I love you, and I'm going to take care of you. So right now, if you see somebody around you, just put your hand. You can lay your hands on them if you want. You can put your hands forward, but we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we can come to you at any moment in any day. Jesus, in that you are on the throne, that you are seated, that you are in control, that you are the king. But Lord, you also are a priest who sympathizes with our weaknesses, who understands the pain, the hurt, the fear, the trials, the tests, the things that we are going through. And Lord, you see your people that you love. You sent your son, Jesus, to die for us. You sent your Holy Spirit to be our guide, our comforter, and our help. And God, we cry out to you because we need you. Some of us are tired. We are tired and weary. Some of us are just struggling with fear. Fear has grabbed our hearts and our souls in ways that we don't know how to get it, to let it go. Some of us are full of anxiety. Some of us we're sick. Some of us are full of questions. We need answers. Lord, we need just know our next step. God, we're all going through stuff. But Lord, you know and you understand. So we ask Holy Spirit to give us peace. To give us peace. Lord, I ask that you bless the sermon this morning. Bless us as we continue in your book, your revelation. I pray your blessings upon churches across the valley. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in Journey Church. I thank you for what you're doing in Christ Church. I thank you for what you're doing in Redemption. And Lord, I ask that you would move here at City View in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, hey, let's get ready. Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8. So if you don't have a Bible, you can scan that QR code right in front of you. You're going to see the YouVersion Bible app right there. All my notes, everything that's going to be behind me, that's all going to be right there in that app. But we're in Revelation chapter 8. Whew. Here we go. Even my youngest son's like, Dad, I want to hear it today. it's crazy stuff. I'm so glad I don't think I'm going to be here. I mean, I'm not a prophet, but I'm so glad I believe in Jesus. Verse 1, when the Lamb broke the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and the seven trumpets were given to them. And another angel, if you are underlining stuff, underline that word, another. If you have the journal Revelation book that we gave you, underline another, because that's going to come up again. Another angel came and stood at the altar holding a golden censer. Much incense was given to him so that he might add it to the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints went up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire, of the altar and threw it to the earth. And there followed peals of thunder and sounds of flashes of lightning and an earthquake. Silence for a half an hour. I mean, some of you young parents out there, like, doesn't that just sound amazing? My house, I have three boys, I love them. It's never quiet in my house until it's bedtime. But at my old age and their old age, our bedtimes don't go along with each other. It used to be we put the kids to bed, and then mom and I got silence for a couple hours. That doesn't happen now that they're high school. Actually, Judah is pretty good at going to bed, but it's everybody else. And so we all go to bed at the same time, and silence is my eyes closed and me falling asleep. It's not that peace, but can you imagine this 30 minutes? Now, it's not like a 30-minute silence of peace. It's that 30-minute lull right before you know all hell is about to break loose. That's the 30 minutes. It's that 30 minutes before the storm where you're watching it billow. You know it's about to come. It's that 30 minutes. So this 30 minutes comes, and up to this point, John had heard so much. He had heard sounds of peals of thunder. He heard the angels singing, elders singing, angels saying, come, and a number of people crying out, worshiping God, and that's what he's hearing. And this angel is holding this golden censer in his hand. This same idea, the same kind of censer that we find in Exodus chapter 30 and in Exodus chapter 37. There's going to be some passages there. You can read those later on. But this is the same censer that was used as a symbol of the prayers of the people in the book of Exodus. And this same kind of censer, this same kind of, it sort of looked, I wish I had a picture for you. I'm sorry, that's a good idea. I should do that and do pictures. I try to do pictures because I like pictures. But I know what it looks like. It looks like a lamp, an oil lamp. If you could picture something like that, okay? It's gold, and then the smoke would come out of it, this censer. And the smoke was symbolic of prayers. And it says, this angel, then it says, all of a sudden, this angel is getting ready to release these seven trumpets. So in the book of Revelation, there are a bunch of sevens. Seven is symbolic of the number of perfection or completeness. So seven now is we see these seven angels, all these different seven things. And now we had first these seven seals, which if you missed, I have a lot to get through, so I'm not going to summarize right now. But there's seven seals. You should watch the series if you want to get caught up. Seven seals. And then as we came to the sixth seal, we are now opening the seventh seal. So if it makes sense, as the seventh seal is open, in that seal are the seven trumpets. And then in the seven trumpets, when you come to the last, so it's not like a whole new scroll. It's not like God got a new scroll. It's like in it, almost like those Russian dolls, that in each Russian doll, there's another Russian doll. Same kind of idea, okay? So as they open that seventh seal, in that seventh seal are the seven trumpets. In that seventh trumpet are seven bowls of wrath. So it's all these sevens of God's wrath happening on earth. The first trumpet. And the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound them. The first sounded, and the first trumpet was blown, and hail and fire mixed with blood, and there was thrown to the earth, and a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. As we read Revelation chapter 8 and 9, some theologians and some commentators have said these are just symbol. These are just like, this isn't really going to happen. And some have made it sound more like, okay, this is the government. It's more speaking about the government and how the government is going to get rid of all these things. I believe that it's exactly as John is saying. I believe John is telling us, as to the best of his knowledge, this is what's going to happen. When you look at Exodus and when you look at the plagues that happened, we see parallels between the book of Exodus and the plagues, and we see parallels here in Revelation chapter 8. These things that happen to the earth. So the first trumpet is blown and hail of some kind, hail with fire. We don't know if it's some kind of asteroid storm. We don't know what it is, but hail mixed with fire, mixed with blood, which when you look at Exodus, you'll see hail comes and water is turned into blood. But the first trumpet is blown and the land and a third of the land is destroyed. A third of the land on earth. And then we come to the next one, Revelation 8 and 9. The second angel sounded, the second trumpet is blown, and something like a great mountain burning with fire. Some believe it could be like a big asteroid or a meteor or something like that is thrown to the earth. Some commentators say it could be like an atomic bomb that is shot and destroyed, or some kind of insane nuclear warhead that is seen like a blazing fire coming through the sky. But either way, here's what happens. Like a great mountain. The reason why most don't believe it's like a rocket or something, it says it's like a mountain. Rockets don't look like mountains. Asteroids and meteors look like mountains falling from the sky. So it says, this burning mountain with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the creatures which were in the sea that had life, they died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Can you imagine what this will do to commerce? Can you imagine what this will do to everybody on earth? A third of the sea, that means salt water. The second trumpet, a third of the sea, a third of the ships, a third of the animals, all that is destroyed in a moment. How it happens, I don't know. Seems like some big, as I told you, that hits the sea. We don't know. I'm not going to speculate. I'm going to read it as it is. Revelation 8:10. The third angel, the third trumpet sounded. And a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of the earth. The name of the star is called Wormwood. And a third of the waters became wormwood, meaning bitter. It's going to say that actually in a little bit. And many men died from the waters because they were made bitter. If you look at Exodus, this happened to the people of Israel as they were going through, where there was a moment where they were complaining and whining to God, and God made their water bitter, and they had to cut a tree and put it into the water where the water was then turned fresh. But it says this something from the sky, again, we don't know what comes, and it turns this a third of the fresh water. So it's lakes and rivers and things like that and streams. A third of the water, the drinkable water on earth, is destroyed. So we've lost a third of the land. Now remember, if you remember earlier when we opened the seals, there's already been things destroyed. A quarter of mankind has already died. So now we're at this point in chapter 8. We've lost a third of the land, a third of the sea, and now a third of the fresh water. Verse 12 through 13. The fourth angel, the fourth trumpet sounded, and a third of the sun and a third of the moon and a third of the stars were struck, so that a third of them would be darkened and the day would not shine for a third of it. And the night is the same in the same way. Then I looked and I heard an angel flying in mid heaven saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. So the fourth trumpet, it shouts, and something happens in heaven, and we don't know what happens. But what we know is a third of the sun is made dark. Now, the scientists have been talking about the sun losing light for years. Scientists have been talking about, like, solar flares. I mean, how many of you guys have, I know some people have, like, freaked out about solar flares and all that in time. Well, I mean, when you read Revelation, something's going to happen to the sun. Something's going to happen to the moon. I don't know what's going to happen to the moon. We don't know. But we know a third of the sun, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars are going to go dark. And that means a third of our day, which right now in Phoenix, imagine if we had a third less sunlight. Many people move to Phoenix because they love the sun. There's going to be less of it. And the night will be even darker, darker to the point of not like, oh, it's dark outside, but darker to the point of this doesn't seem right. And this angel goes throughout mid-heaven. That means that's the what we can see. And this angel proclaims the three woes of Revelation. Behind me are where we will find the three woes. One we'll talk about today. Another one, the other two we'll talk about next week. But these are the three woes of Revelation. So as he says it in this, as this angel says it in verse 13, he is introducing what's going to be said later on in this book. There's the three woes. If you ever have any questions through Revelation, there will be a scannable QR code and you can send me questions and I'll answer them. But not right now. I asked my son if he wanted to come up here because he really wanted to hear today. And I'm like, you can sit here. And I go, if you have any questions throughout my sermon, you can just say, hey, Dad, answer this question for me real quick. But he didn't want to help you out. Just kidding. Verse 1, chapter 9. Then the fifth angel sounded, the fifth trumpet, and I saw a star fall from heaven, which had fallen to the earth, and the key of the bottomless pit was given to him. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke went up out of the pit. Here's what I want you to do. We're going to, as we read through this chapter, you're going to see the word like 10 different times, at least in my translation, 10 different times. Underline every time you see the word like, because what John is telling us here is, I have no clue what it is, but it's like this. He's trying to describe something he's never seen in his entire life. Imagine if we took the Cybertruck, which is the ugliest truck in the world. Imagine if we took that back to John's day, and he was trying to describe a Cybertruck. And he would say, it looked like an elephant with shiny, silver, metal-like teeth. And black. I mean, can you picture that? So he's trying to describe to the best of his ability. So as you're reading through this, some of you have it on your phone. I'm sorry. Get a Bible. If you don't own a Bible, buy a Bible. I'll get you a Bible. But that's why it's so cool to have the paper, because you can underline things like that. It's so key. Okay, let's go. He opened the bottomless pit, and smoke went up out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air was darkened by the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke came locusts upon the earth, and power was given to them as scorpions of the earth have power. And they were told not to hurt the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. Remember, those of you who were not here last week we learned about this group of 144,000 men that God is going to seal to protect them. Many theologians believe that anybody who is a Christian who maybe got saved during the tribulation, that God will also place a seal on them, because and when you read scripture, God seals his people. Ephesians talks about how God places his seal upon us. So we see this idea of not only God placing a seal on this 144,000, but throughout scripture, we see this idea of God placing his seal upon his people who have put their faith in him. So, but we don't, I don't know. But all I know is I'd like to be gone. I'd like to be gone. For those who have placed the seal of God on their forehead. And they were not permitted to kill anyone, but to torment for 5 months. And that's terrible. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings a man. And in those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die and death flees from them. That the appearance of the locust, so now John's going to describe these locusts that he sees. The appearance of the locust was like horses prepared for battle, and on their foreheads appeared to be crowns like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like hair of a woman. Remember, he's trying to describe what he's seeing, but he has no clue what he's seeing. He says, and their teeth were like the teeth of lions, and they had breastplates like the breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots of many horses rushing to battle. And they had tails like scorpions and stings, and in their tails is their power to hurt men for 5 months. They have as a king of them, and the angel of the abyss. The name in Hebrew is Abaddon. The name in Greek has the name Apollyon. The first woe, here it is, the first woe has passed. Behold, two woes are still to come. So Abaddon and Apollyon, that means destroyer. That's this angel's name who's leading them, the destroyer. So let's go to the next one. I'm kidding. I'm going to help us understand a little bit. This is the fifth trumpet. Forces are released from the pit. Now we see John not being exactly literal here. Most of Revelation we can read as literal. John now is going, I don't know. It's like this. He's trying to describe what he is seeing to the best of his ability, and that's why he uses this word like multiple times. So we saw there in verse 1, it says this angel comes. This angel, it says, then the fifth angel, and I saw a star falling from heaven. And then it says a star falling from heaven, but then it says, and him. So we realize it's not a star, but it's actually some kind of being or person or angelic figure that comes down from heaven. Who is this angel, this being with this key that opens the abyss? We don't know. Some think it's just a powerful angel that comes. Some think it's that. If you look in other passages in the Old Testament, Isaiah, Ezekiel, I think those two. We see that Satan is seen as a falling star from heaven. He's cast out of heaven. So some believe that this is actually speaking of Satan being cast out. Either way, what we know is that this being is going down to heaven. He's given a key to open this bottomless pit, which we also don't know much about the bottomless pit. We know that Satan is thrown into a pit. We know that these beings are locked in this pit. We don't know when they got locked in this pit. There's lots of speculation on when. We're going to get more into some of that in just a little bit. But here's what we know. We know that when this being comes down, let's call him Satan, he comes down and he opens up this pit. And out of this pit comes something like a swarm of locusts. Have you guys ever seen a swarm of locusts? Can you imagine what that's going to look like? I don't want to be here. I'm glad I put my faith in Jesus. I'm glad I'll be with him. I'm glad, I'm hoping, I mean, I'm not 100% sure, but I do know this, that my faith is in Jesus and he holds me firm and that he's going to get me through anything and everything that comes my way, but I sure don't want to see this. So we see this idea of this locust, and some different artists have tried to draw up. Here's a first drawing that somebody has drawn up, this locust, where it's like this locust that has this chest plate, has this head of a man, teeth of a lion, this crown, this tail on it. And I don't know that it's going to look. He's trying to describe something to the best of his ability. There's another image coming up here that this author has trying to describe this image. And if you can picture mankind, leave it on this one for a little bit. Mankind is so scared. It says they want to die, but they can't die. That means they are killing themselves, but they're not dying. Not that they're zombies. I mean, maybe they are. I don't know. But that they're trying with everything they can to kill themselves, but death evades them. Because they want to get out. Wouldn't that be such an easier way to get out of the wrath of God? Let me just die then. I don't want to be through the... But it's like, no, you can't kill people. You can't hurt the land. But man, you can torment them for 5 months. So for 5 months, it is total insanity on earth. Now, some think that what is released or what is somehow released, they think it's like a helicopter, which could make sense. When you look at a helicopter, I mean, some have been painted, or even if you look at some of the front of a helicopter, they look like a locust. And they have this image of, when you look at a helicopter, this is not the best one of a helicopter, but the top of a helicopter, this, I don't need my little laser pointer so I can point for you guys a little bit. There. Like the crown here, you got teeth here, you got this tail here. And John, I mean, imagine John trying to describe a helicopter. Yeah. Some think maybe it's drones. I've never seen a drone with a tail, but I'm sure somebody can make a drone with a tail. I don't know what they're going to be, but here's my belief. Here's where I stand. I think it's just going to be crazy-looking demons. Evil forces, they're going to be released upon earth to hurt mankind. That's what I think. I think it's going to be something that is just sheer insanity, and mankind won't turn. Let's look at the next verse here. It says, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, and one saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. And the four angels who had been prepared for that hour and day and month and year were released so that they would kill a third of mankind. The number of the armies of the horsemen who was 200 million, and I heard the number of them, and this is how I saw the vision, the horses and those who sat on them, the riders and the breastplates, the color of fire and the hyacinth of brimstone, and the heads of the horses are like heads of lions, and out of their mouths proceeded fire and smoke and brimstone, and a third of mankind was killed by these three plagues, by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone which proceed out of their mouths. For the power of the horsemen is in their mouths and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents, and their heads, and they have heads with them, and they do harm. The rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues, underline this, did not repent. The more you harden your heart, the more you don't seek forgiveness, the harder your heart gets. It says they did not repent of their works of their hands, so as to, now here's what they continue to do, so as to not worship. So that means they continue to worship demons. They continue to worship idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor their immorality, nor their thefts. That means they continued to murder. They continued their sorceries. They continued their immoral sexual acts, and they continued to steal. This is the sixth trumpet. Four angels are released from the river Euphrates to torment mankind. If you remember, in chapter 6, a quarter of mankind was killed. In chapter 8, a third, and now we've got even more. Over half of mankind is now dead. We don't know anything about these angels that are released. Some believe it's angels that were condemned to the pit. In Genesis chapter 6, it speaks about these angels called the Nephilim it says the sons of God had relations with the daughters of Eve, and people believe that it's these angel beings that came to earth and actually had relations and created this abnormally sized mankind called the Nephilim, and that angels did these things, and that there's this, God punished them. Some believe that it's these four angels that are released. We don't really know. And Jude speaks about angels that are in prison. We don't fully know. But what we know is at some point in the tribulation, in this terrible time, that something terrible is released from the River Euphrates. I don't know how many of you track River Euphrates, but more and more people are talking about how it's drying up. I don't know. Then it speaks about this army, this 200 million person army. People have said that's China. Maybe. China only has a 2 million man army. I think it's like 2,800,000. If we're waiting till they get a 200 million person army, we've got a lot longer to go. I tend to think it's probably going to be some kind of joint military attack. I mean, because if it's going to be 200 million from China, like I'd rather just think it's going to be a joint one, because that's a lot more people, and they limit you on how many kids you can have. So it's like they put a cinch on themselves, and India's about ready to pass them up. And how many people? So we don't know. But we know this huge army is going to come, and they're going to attack, and they're going to come and attack Israel. And these forces that come, it says they have fire coming from their mouths, and we don't know. It's some kind of crazy war. We don't know if it's tanks or guns, but John is explaining some kind of insane battle that he doesn't understand what he's seeing, because all he's seen at that time are guys on horses, chariots, arrows, maybe some catapults that launch like big rocks that light on fire. You know, I'm thinking like Lord of the Rings and those kind of things. That's all John knows. That's all he knows, is that kind of battle stuff. He doesn't know what we've seen today. He doesn't know missiles and jets and tanks and insane kind of crafts that people have made. He doesn't know all of that. He's never seen them. He's never seen a car. He's never seen a cell phone. He's never seen those things. So he's trying to describe, but what he's describing is things are about to get crazy. You would think that at this point, people might turn and repent and say, God, I'm so sorry, but they don't. They don't. You know, we live in a culture now where people are told, just let us be who we are. We know what's best for us. Don't we live in that culture now? Where people are like, no, let kids decide their kind of sexuality. Let people decide what's good. If you put everybody together, all mankind would be good. We would live in this utopian society if you just let us decide. Okay, God does that. He says, okay, fine. You want what you want. Here's your utopian society. What do? They murder each other. They continue to do witchcraft. They steal from each other. And they, whatever the other one was, they do something, immorality. They're given over to their own devices. They're given over to their own desires. They're given over to what they think will be best. And what do? But they turn it even worse. And this doesn't turn them to God. It turns them farther away from him. They want nothing to do with God. Guys, we are in that time now where we see how easily people can turn away from what is good. But that doesn't mean we count them as lost. It means we pray harder. It means we pursue them with more passion. We share more Jesus. We got to be better examples to all those that we come in contact with. That means we got to be careful how we talk, how we live, what we do, because we want people to want the Jesus inside us, not to be pushed away from the Jesus that we have. Because this is going to happen. Chapter 10. Chapter 10 is like a breath of fresh air. So everybody go. I didn't want to end on chapter 9. Okay, verse 1. I saw another strong angel. Remember when I had you underline another? Underline it again. I'll explain it a little bit. I saw another strong angel coming down out of heaven, clothed with a white cloud. And the rainbow was upon his head, and his face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book, which was open. He placed his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. And he cried out with a loud voice, as when a lion roars. And when he cries out, with seven peals of thunder uttered their voices. When the seven peals of thunder had spoken, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, seal up the things which have which the seven peals of thunder have spoken, and do not write them. So John is told, don't write this part. So we don't know what's said by those peals of thunder. This is one of the few places where John is told, do not write. Most of Revelation, John is given permission to tell all of us. This we're told, not, we won't know. Then the angel who I saw standing on the sea and on the land lifted up his right hand to heaven and swore, you can underline that, swore by him who lives forever, even who created heaven and the things in it, and the earth and the things in it, and the sea and the things in it, that there will be no, that there will be delay no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, then the mystery of God is finished as he preached to his servants, the prophets. So we're introduced to this new angel. I said for you to underline something. We're going to talk about that in just a second. Some believe this is Jesus because of the description. When you look at Revelation chapter 1, this is a very, Revelation chapter 1, Revelation chapter 4 and 5, this is a very similar description of Jesus on the throne. Why? Because it talks about a rainbow, it talks about clouds, it talks about his face like the sun, his feet like fire, his voice like a lion and thunder. It's possible. But more likely, it's regarding a mighty angel that is sent, that which I spelled wrong. Hopefully somebody fixed that for me. Thank you, Josh, because I have a typo here on mine. I said a mighty angle. Those 90-degree angles. A mighty angle, like an angel. Like an archangel. Here's why I believe it's probably more this. One, the word another. That word I had to underline is meaning one of the same kind that was said before. So that's why I had you underline that word another. So it says another angel. If he was saying another like it was Jesus, then he wouldn't have used that word. But he's referring to another angel that he already talked about. Another meaning same kind. Like Michael the archangel or Gabriel, these powerful, there are some angels. In the realm of angels, there are rankings of angels. There's archangels, and then there's other angels, there's messengers, there's all these different kinds of angels. So, but Michael and Gabriel seem to be the, and even Lucifer, Satan, was an archangel, was a powerful angel. It says this angel does not have a crown. There's no crown mentioned. Jesus has a crown. The angel swore to him. Jesus does not swear to anybody. Jesus can make a promise on his own. Also, there's no evidence that in throughout Scripture that Jesus is going to come somewhere in between, midway, or at some point in the tribulation. There's no more evidence that this is going to happen, that something like Jesus is going to come. So John is told, though, at this point, don't write down. The message of the angel is sworn by God. And he looked at how God is seen, and we can look at how God is seen, that he lives forever and ever. This angel is describing God, that he created everything in heaven, that he created all things on earth, that he created all things in the sea. Then this angel then proclaims the time has come. The angel says, okay, the time has run out. It's over. It's done. It's finished. And it says the mystery. This angel refers to the mystery that is spoken of. The consummation of all God's plans is coming to the end. That's the mystery. That God is going to wrap up everything, that everything God had prophesied, everything God had said, everything that God had said was going to happen, that is going to happen. That his salvation for those who have chosen him, that he would save them because of their faith in him. That his judgment on mankind was going to come, on mankind and the demons. Throughout Scripture, God made mysteries in the Old Testament. And New Testament, God reveals those mysteries. And here's some of them right here. Oh, they're already here behind me. Take a picture of that. Read those this week. These are the mysteries that God has revealed throughout Scripture. There should be, like, I think, 2 pages of them, correct? Is there? Okay, cool. Do you guys all get pictures? If you wanted pictures, if you didn't get pictures yet, raise your hand and I'll have them go back. Go back to the first one. Please, Gail. Thank you. Is this the first one? Okay, take a picture of that. It's also on the YouVersion Bible app. Take a picture of that. Okay. Everybody done? Ready? Next page. Take a picture. If I'm in your way, I'm sorry. I'll move real quick. Okay. Verse 8. Then the voice which I heard from heaven, meaning that angel, I heard again speaking with me and saying, go, take the book, which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the land. So I went to the angel, telling him to give me the little book. And the angel said to me, take it and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter, but in your mouth it will be sweet as honey. I took the little book out of the angel's hand, and I ate it. And in my mouth it was sweet as honey. And when I had eaten it, my stomach was made bitter. And they said to me, you must prophesy again concerning many people, and nations, and tongues, and kings. Now this voice that is speaking to John, he hears, and he's told to go and take that book, which many believe it's referring to the Word of God. And so he takes that book, and he's told to eat that book. And in his stomach, it became bitter, and to his taste, it was sweet. God's Word is both bitter and sweet, isn't it? God's word is both bitter and sweet. It contains both sin and forgiveness, death and life, judgment and salvation, damnation and deliverance, heaviness and joy, hell and heaven, bondage and freedom, destruction and new world, corruption and perfection. And then John is told to prophesy, to go and preach the truth, to not stop, to keep going. We are told to preach the truth. We are called to share Jesus with everyone we know. And the only way we can do this, the only way we'll have what we need, is if we have God's word stored in our own heart. Just as John 8 of God's word, so are we every day. Some of us are more faithful to the gym than we are God's word. Some of us are more faithful to our employer than we are to God's word. Some of us are more faithful to our kids than we are to God's word. Some of us are more faithful to our pillow than we are to God's word. God's word is the only thing that will get us through each and every day. I would hate to ask a raise of hands of how many of us missed a day of eating from God's word this week. And if we compared it to one of those other things, your Starbucks drink, your gym fam, your boss, your favorite thing, sport or whatever, like, and I'm not trying to guilt trip you, but what I am trying to do is, like, God's word, it will satisfy you in ways you at some point will crave so much. God's word is described in so many ways. In Matthew 4:4, God's word is said it's bread. 1 Peter 2:2, God's word is milk. 1 Corinthians 3:1 and 2, God's word is meat. Psalm 119:103, God's word is honey. Psalm 119:105, God's word is a light. Psalm 34:8, it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Jeremiah 15:16, your words are found and I ate them, and your words became for me a joy and a delight of my heart, for I have been called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Ezekiel 3:1, then he said to me, son of man, eat what you find, eat the scroll and go and speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth and I fed, and he fed me with this scroll, and he said to me, son of man, feed your stomach and fill your body with the scroll which I give you. Then I ate, and it was sweet as honey in my mouth. God's word is so important for our lives. Why? It guides you. Why? It gives you hope. Why? It tells you about who your Savior is. Why? It tells you the truth of life. God's word, this is it's a light unto our feet. It's food to our souls. It's refreshment to you. It helps you know the difference between right and wrong. God's word. And John, he ate it and it was sweet and bitter. And there are times when I read God's word and it brings to light the sin that's in my heart, that God might get rid of it and rip it out because it keeps me from God. But then there are so many times in God's word where I read it and he guides and protects my heart. He encourages my heart. I don't know what I would be without it. It's not that this book is magical, but these are God's words. His living word. And John says he ate it and it became sweet and bitter because the truth of what's going to happen on earth is bitter. The more we eat of God's word, the sweeter it becomes. And the more of God's word we read, the more bitter it becomes as it shows us sin and judgment. And then the more we read of God's word, the reality of God's word to obey God drives us, and it should compel us to do what Jesus says in Mark 16 and Matthew 28, where Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Go therefore and make disciples for all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. Jesus says to us in his word, he says, go. Go into all the world. Go into your workplace. Go into your grocery store. Go into your school. Go into your homes. Go into your neighborhoods. Go into your gyms. Go into your coffee shops. Go wherever you are going. You are taking Jesus. Our world is falling apart and they need Jesus. He's the only answer. He's the only truth. And we learn about him here. Eat it. What does that look like for you to eat it? First off, you got to open it. Find a Bible plan in the YouVersion Bible app that's good. And start with Psalms. Read one Psalm a day. There's 150 of them. Read a Proverbs a day. There's 31 of those. It's crazy that there's 31 days in a month. 30, 31, sometimes 29. Once every 4 years. Read a gospel. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. You're like, should I start from the beginning? Yeah, you can. But Jesus says, go. And then he says, make disciples. Last Sunday, my wife teaches city kids. There are only two kids in there because it's spring break, so it's light. And because there are only two kids, she got to lead one of the kids to the Lord. Make disciples. Men, those young boys in those city kids' classrooms need you. They need godly examples of what a man looks like. The moment you put a man in that kid's classroom, it changes the dynamic of the room. Those boys swarm to a dude. I think it's Ezra or Cameron. He goes into the preschool room. Cameron's 14, 15. And those kids are wild, preschool boys. The moment Cam walks in that room, every boy wants to be around Cameron. The impact you can have on a young man's life is insane. Take opportunities to pour into the next generation. Men, I want to encourage you, come to men's night. Whatever's on your calendar, move it. We need godly men in our country. We need godly men in our state. We need godly men in our city. And we need godly men in this church that are willing to stand up for what's right, fight for what's right, and do what's right. And men, I want to challenge you, go to men's night. Because when we rally together, we fight together, and we can take over a lot more land. It says, go. Jesus says, go. He says, make disciples. You're not going to know how to make disciples if you're not one yourself. Make disciples. And then he says, baptize. If you have not been baptized yet, that's your next step here at City View. That's your next step. Easter Sunday is your baptism day. If you've not been baptized, that's your day. No more excuses. Jesus doesn't say, if you want to, or if you think like it's a good idea. No, he says, this is a command. Be baptized. That's your next step. If my kid crawled around on the floor and I'm like, bud, you know how to walk? I don't want to walk. I like crawling. I'd be like, no. We don't crawl. We walk. That's your next step, kid. I'd pick him up and I'd say, we're going to walk. God says, okay, men, people, Christians, go. Make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then he says, teach. Teach them to obey. Teach about God's word at home, husbands and wives. Teach about God's word at work. Teach about God's word as with friends, roommates, people in your life. Teach to obey. Jesus ends with a promise here. He says, I will never leave you. He's the same. He won't leave us. Lord, you are good. You are so good. Lord, even though, man, this Revelation 8 and 9, it's crazy stuff, Lord. It's crazy. But Jesus, you are faithful. That's who you are, and you always will be. So Jesus, help us to walk faithful. In your name, amen.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to click the follow button and tune in next week for another great message.